This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Anytime I'm on is prime time.
Make me a bicycle clown.
Welcome back. Hour three on the score. Rick Camp, Herb Lawrence here with you. We're going to go right back out to the Alphamonte Ford hotline. Alphamonte Ford in Melrose Park. You hear the drop. You hear the music. But it's Saturday at 4 p.m. So you're like, well, Lawrence shouldn't be on. I thought he went on vacation out to Arizona. Well, we're going to bother him anyway because we know Lawrence is a nice guy. He's going to come on and, you know, he's a good man and thorough. And you can follow him on Twitter at Lawrence W. Holmes. Lawrence, how's Arizona treating you?
It was fine until this morning when it started to rain all morning long. It's crazy. Like, it was buckets and buckets of rain. If you ever spent any time out in the desert, you know how things get here. It's so funny. My mom texted me, and I was telling her how it was going to rain, and she goes, well, you know, it's better to rain there than the snow in Chicago. And I was like, no, we understand how to drive in the snow for the most part. They do not understand how to drive in the rain.
Is it still raining out there? I know they had to
cancel. No, you know what? Herbie, I actually think I'm going to go take a walk in a little bit because it seems like it stopped raining, but just about every one of the Cactus League games, they banged early on in the morning because, look, at this point, you're talking about all the rain that's been in the outfield. Like, I was at White Sox this morning, and there is no way you wanted to put your prized possessions out on a field that has that much water on it. So I'm curious to see what goes down over at Sloan and if the Cubs actually do play tonight, because it's probably stopped raining maybe about 45 minutes ago, and there's still, what, 3 hours before the game. They got a really good drainage system over there.
I wonder
so
why.
Hopefully if you're run by a water company. Hopefully they'll have an opportunity. I've been debating whether or not I'm going to go over there, but I could definitely use some more outside. And it's like 65 degrees. So I think I'm going to go take a walk after I'm done talking to you fine gentlemen.
You went to Cubs camp, and I saw the pictures of you talking to the assembled media of David Ross. What do you think of David Ross? I mean, I know you've talked to him on the air. What do you think of David Ross as far as commanding respect in that clubhouse instead of being the Grandpa Rossi cuddly guy to being the leader of the Cubs?
Well, it's funny because he brought that up when he got hired. That, look, the Grandpa Rossi is kind of a misnomer, and from what I can tell, just watching a couple of days of what the Cubs do, he's dead on. Like, this guy has an edge to him. And I think that people will appreciate the contrast. I think there are some really good elements of Joe Maddon in him. And I think that he's drawing from other managers that he's played for as well. He pretty much said, when it was kind of being joked about, like, hey, you know, this guy is talking about being in the lineup in certain spots. He's like, no, I'll make the decision. Like, don't think that these guys are just going to have their choice of where they hit. He seems very analytical, too. And I don't mean that as that he's just going up and looking at numbers, that he's breaking things down and trying to figure out what's going to give the Cubs the best opportunity to win. It's if you're a Cubs fan that needed more structure and you needed a little bit more sandpaper, I think that you're going to get that with Rossi, because that's one of the things that players and folks that cover the team have been discussing, that the way that things have gone in spring training have been a lot more of the structured variety. So I would tell people, don't mess with Rossi. Like, he's not playing around. He's taking this gig very seriously, and you can tell what type of catcher he was and presence in the clubhouse, because that personality is kicked right back in now that he's the manager.
You mentioned the name, and if anybody's following you on Twitter, which most people should be at this point, at Lawrence W. Holmes, saw that you got to see your guy Joe Maddon. One, I guess, how is Joe doing, and what does that Angels team is really interesting. What do they look like?
It's really campy. It's so weird because I was looking for Joe. Like, I didn't tell Joe I was coming, but I figured it was on the way. Like, it's not that far. It's maybe 10 minutes from where the Cubs are. And so I walk in there, and it's a whole different vibe. The Angels are not the most covered team in Los Angeles. There weren't a ton of fans that were there. That field that they play on at Tempe Diablo Stadium is pretty awesome. And I just rolled up in there, was watching them go through. Otani was talking. It was like the first day that he had talked, so people were excited to see him. I look around the corner, and then Joe kind of had his press conference. So I stayed in the back, and I waited, and then I got a chance to talk to him for about 15 minutes afterwards. He's as happy as I've seen him in a couple of years. He is refreshed, and you guys know, because we had him on every week, that he would talk about how much he admired and liked the way that the Angels as an organization were run. It's clear that he's comfortable back with the Angels, that even putting back on red, like he feels good and he feels in command, and they're letting him implement some stuff that, quite frankly, he wasn't going to be able to implement with the Cubs. He is taking a more human approach with managing the Angels than he did with the Cubs. And he's in full control, man. Like, there's no question who is in charge of the Angels as an organization. He is now the face of that franchise, along with Mike Trout. He is making the decisions, and he's going to do this thing his way. They're an interesting team. They've got a lot of parts. When you talk about Otani, Trout, and Rendon in the middle of your lineup, I mean, that's a great place to start. But I feel like they've given him a real chance to compete. I don't know if they win the West, but I think that they're going to be heavily involved in the wild card conversation.
I don't know if it's intentional or not, but the narrative is being set up that, hey, last year and our failures the last couple of years, that's on Joe. And, like, players are coming out, man, we weren't prepared for those games. How is Joe taking that, firstly? And secondly, do you think that's true? Like, the Cubs are intentionally putting out the feel that Joe didn't get our guys prepared. That's why we didn't win as many games as we should have.
You know what, Herbie? As I'm sitting here talking to you, I feel like I'm culpable because I'm telling you the differences between the two managers. And I'm telling you how at Cubs camp there is a different type of structure. And I don't think that either one of those styles is bad. I think that Joe's style of, look, we did all the stuff when you guys were younger. I'm going to treat you like adults and hope that you do your job and come in prepared. What Joe said to me, and he had said it to other members of the media too, was go ahead and take a poll. Ask all those guys, did they think they weren't prepared for games every day? And see how many of them raised their hand. I think he was a little bit surprised by what Javier Baez had said about it. And whenever there's a breakup, everyone has to figure out, well, who is at fault? I just think that this was an expiration date. And maybe the Cubs wanted to move on from Joe a year earlier. And they're going to accentuate the positives of David Ross and try not to make it seem like they're taking shots at Joe Maddon. But the comparisons are just going to be really difficult to not do. And we'll see, you know, whether either one of these managers is going to be successful. I would hope that people don't look at the tenure of Joe as unsuccessful. I mean, he's the most successful manager in Cubs history with what he did. And I think that his style really worked for those guys early on. And maybe it's not what they need right now, But I just feel as if the two sides, management and on field, were heading in different directions for what they thought would be good reasons to ways to win baseball games. Joe clearly wants to go from a more subjective, scout-based system where he's bringing in alumni. Like, we were talking about that too, where he had brought up on the show how he wants to have more human eyes involved and get people involved, like Tim Salmon, like, you know, all of the guys that he was with. Like, he's bringing those guys in. And that's not to say the Cubs aren't doing that, because they are. You know, I was over there. You look over, and Sandberg is omnipresent. You know, they care about their history, and they want their guys to do it. I just think that there's a different philosophy that Joe was leaning towards and didn't want to go in the same direction. I think it ends up being good for both sides from a personal standpoint. We'll see if it's good from a baseball standpoint between the two sides.
We're speaking with Lawrence Holmes here on The Score. Follow him on Twitter at Lawrence W. Holmes. Well, really, like all social media, at Lawrence W. Holmes. Lawrence has content pretty much everywhere, whether it's podcast. And by the way, if anybody hasn't listened to the House of L with Adam Amin, it is incredible. I know I mentioned it to Lawrence before he left that, like, part of it got me a little teary-eyed there, got a little dusty in the room, but it's a fantastic listen. So if you haven't listened to The House of L with Adam Amin, it's really fantastic. I got one more thing on Joe, and I don't know, maybe I'm just looking too much into it, but maybe did the Cubs lean so much into the differences between the managers partially because they just haven't been able to remake the roster at all, maybe the way they would have wanted to?
I don't know if it's that sinister. I just think that if we're lucky enough to have Rossi on every week on our show, it'll become clear. Like, Joe is like a great storyteller. He's a guy that has a lot of interest outside of managing baseball, and they come through in his managing of baseball. Rossi, from what I've gathered being here and talking to him, he takes the game so seriously. And I don't mean that as a negative. I mean it as a clear positive. Like, he wants to win, and that competitive spirit of his is on display for you as you walk into the Sloan Park. Like, he is, and the structure part is really I wouldn't say surprising, but there's a stark difference between the way Cubs camp was run last year or the last 2 years versus what it's being run like this year. And the problem is that we'll probably attach, I don't want people to attach a negative connotation to that. It's just different. And we'll see if it has the results that both the Cubs and what Rossi would want. I dig his vibe. Like, I like Joe's vibe because I feel like it's something that I can relate to as I've gotten older, but the way that Rossi acts is very reminiscent to me. Like, I get it, and a lot of catchers have that thing, have that for lack of a better, like, red ass thing. And his red ass is on display, and I think it's a good thing. I think that if the Cubs believe that they were a team that needed a kick in the pants, they hired the right guy to kick them in the pants.
And speaking of red asses, the guy on the south side now, Ricky Renteria, is definitely a red ass. I know that we've been to multiple White Sox camp where Ricky Renteria has run them. Is there a difference this year? I feel the energy just from here is different down there in Glendale.
Well, look, I didn't get a chance to see a real workout because it was raining like buckets today. So they canceled games. Guys went to the cages and went home. But inside that clubhouse, I spent a large amount of time with Tim Anderson this morning. And that guy, man, his energy is infectious. And it's so funny. Like, he was talking about bringing up the idea of taking his game to the next level. And the idea of being a league MVP one day. And I joked with him about the whole Derrick Rose thing. And he said, you know, I hadn't seen the Derrick Rose video until I posted, still video posted of me talking about maybe one day being MVP. There is a level of, this is going to sound bad when I say it, but it is the right word. There is a level of arrogance with this White Sox team that has not been there in a really long time. And Tim is kind of the example of that. He wants the pressure. And it was like what Ricky was saying a couple weeks ago, that he wants the pressure. I think there's less pressure on those players, though, than there is on the manager if things don't go well early on for this team. But there's a good vibe there. Like, I was noticing just the way that the lockers are set up. And someone referred to, I think it was Andy Mazur, we were joking around that where they have Luis Robert, you can kind of refer to as the nest. He is in between Jose Abreu and Yoan Moncada. So he's right there. Like, he's right there on Jose's hip. He is learning all the things that he needs to know to kind of navigate all of this stuff. It doesn't seem like yet that things are too big, but they haven't done anything yet. They haven't played any games. So you don't really know. I will say, though, it's a much different vibe than the last few years that I've gone to Camelback, where there's a confidence that's coming from White Sox teams that felt like false bravado in years past, and this year feels a lot more like a team that thinks they're ready to take that next step.
Has any of it gotten to a point where you're almost like, maybe they're getting a little too far out in front of their skis? Or it could very well just be me being so used to, as you mentioned, just the lack of that having that bravado, having that arrogance, which, you know, isn't necessarily a bad word, is just that apparent so far.
No, I don't. I'm not worried, Campy. I'm really not. I mean, I think that they have finally put themselves in a position organizationally to make some things happen, and now it's going to be up to those guys. And if the guys that were already here stay at their numbers from last year and maybe even improve just a little bit, then they're in great shape, considering the additions that they made. The idea of them just having the representative starting pitching, and I've talked about that for months, that it would have been a big difference for the 2019 White Sox. It looks as if they now have that for 2020, but it's a matter of them having to prove it. I understand why people would, like, if you're a White Sox fan, you're concerned, like, stay humble, be humble. You haven't done anything yet. But this is a team that last year, that swagger was – Tim Anderson's swagger was one of the things that drew people in to last year's team. And I'm okay with them taking it the next step. It's just a matter of, can you back it up? And they'll get their chance starting next month.
I want to know if you've talked to your guy Kenny Williams yet. And secondly, I don't know if Kenny watches, you know, what's going on in the NBA and the Bulls in particular. The fact that they keep on referring to John Paxson as Kenny Williams irritates the hell out of me. I'm sure
trash
that Kenny is furious about that. But have you talked to Kenny as yet?
No, I went looking for the golf cart of doom this morning.
Sunglasses
and
on.
I didn't see Kenny.
Even though it's raining, he's got sunglasses on.
Well, I mean, that it wouldn't be Kenny if he didn't. But I didn't see him. I saw Rick. Rick came in a little bit. And it's funny because when they announced the Aaron Bummer extension, that it was Jeremy Haber, who's the assistant GM, who talked about it. And it's funny because that's what happened with Rick, where there was a point where he didn't do all of the press conferences in spring training, where Kenny didn't do all the press conferences in spring training, that Rick did some of these. And I know that Jeremy was working really hard on some of the contract stuff and picking up some of that slack for Rick. So I didn't see Kenny, and I was looking for him. I was definitely looking for him. But you're damn right, Herbie. The idea that a guy that was an architect of a championship-winning team is being compared to someone who hasn't come close to winning a championship is utterly ridiculous. If the comparison is Jerry Reinsdorf's loyalty to people, that's fine. But understand that Kenny has the credentials to back it up. There's multiple pictures around Camelback Ranch of Kenny and Jerry and Ozzie with an actual World Series trophy and not just one appearance in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Speaking of, Lawrence, I know you were worried about missing any Bulls games while you're out in Arizona.
No, I wasn't at all.
But the Bulls are playing the Suns tonight, so you can catch it on local TV out there. It's perfect.
Yeah, I don't think I'll do that.
No?
I just don't. I don't find that entertaining whatsoever. I'm on vacation, so I mean, I'd honestly rather watch like
anything else.
I'm like on the TV right now because it's been raining all day. I was flipping around. I'm watching that movie Alfie. Remember that movie Alfie?
Yes.
Jude Law.
Yes.
I'm watching that. Okay. I'd rather watch that on repeat or Teen Titans Go or SportsCenter or even the XFL.
Yeah, they got that on right now.
Bulls.
Mark Trestman lost again.
I know. I turned it off because it was Trestman's team.
Shockingly, Mark Trestman's team lost again. I don't know. That's you know.
I'm shocked by that.
And
you know what though? I did see that they had the there was a touchdown and then there was a celebration. And then a guy from the other team came in the middle and broke up the celebration. And I was sitting there going, oh, yeah, this is the XFL. You're supposed to be allowed to do that, but there aren't any rules. So I was all here for the anarchy of, yeah, you can have your celebration and the other team can disrupt your celebration because it's the XFL.
I know that you spoke to Rick about this and you give him credit as far as signing guys to long-term deals before they hit their ARB years. Like, Aaron Bummer wasn't even in my purview. I wasn't even thinking about him, but that's a genius deal to get a guy like that. If he projects to be the guy that he is, they're going to get him for very cheap. They compare him to Zach Britton. What did Rick tell you, or remind the folks what Rick told you as far as the importance to getting those deals done and why he is good at that and other teams might not be?
Well, what he said to us was that, look, we're not trying to rob anyone. What we're trying to do is make it so that there's a level of comfort on both sides, that there's some inherent risk with giving people long-term deals. We understand that. But if you can get players who feel appreciated by them going to buy out those arbitration years and feel comfortable because those contracts are guaranteed, then it's a win-win. And that's where they like to do this. They like to make it so it's a win-win for everyone. I'm not sure why other teams don't do it as frequently, but it works out. Hey, let me see if I can do this. Let me see if I can play Jeremy Haber talking about the Aaron Bummer, and it'd be okay if you guys can hear it. Hang on, let's see.
You're looking at relievers. There's the capacity to come in key situations and high leverage and be that guy that you can count on in any situation. That's what we have with Aaron. In addition, the nature of the position, there's ups and downs, and he's experienced that in his career on and off the field. Demonstrated that resiliency that you look for in that position.
Did that come in clear?
That did come in clear.
Yeah.
And we were talking about that type of thing that the Sox do. It resonates throughout the team. The minor leaguers know, like, hey, if I do this, that, and the other, they're going to sign me and get me security like they did with Tim, they did with Jose Quintana, they did with Chris Sale, and on and on. Also, I think the fact that sometimes they play service times games resonates with the minor leaguers. Do you think there is any truth to either of those, like positive things that they do as far as extensions before ARB years, and then sometimes, and I want to just say that the Nick Madrigal thing, I think that he should be up on the major league staff on March 26th. That's what I'm talking about. If they're going to play games with him, that's going to filter down to the lower ranking guys. It's like, they're not about the meritocracy. They're about playing games.
Yeah, I think the whole service time thing sucks, and I think it's something that the Players Association is really going to try and figure out once we get to this new CBA agreement between the two sides. It seems ridiculous. Like, just, it's so funny. A bunch of the Cubs were, I think it was Gonzo that said that he had run into Mike Olt because I guess Mike Olt is now one of the bat guys. Like, he's one of the guys that represents bats. And he was joking about how Olt's injury was the reason that Chris Bryant got called up. And, of course, like, inside the mentions, like, people were getting really, really mad because, yes, it was kind of the reason, but it wasn't the reason that Chris Bryant got called up. And remember, they told him, like, oh, you still need to go work on the defense. Meanwhile, he's being asked to play, what, at last count, how many positions has Chris Bryant played in the major leagues? Like, six different positions? So it just, a lot of it falls flat. And I mean, I love Rick, but if you think that a guy is ready for the major leagues, we all kind of know when every GM is playing that game with a talented guy. Because, yes, seven is more than six, but hopefully don't lose him after five, because five is less than seven.
Lawrence, thanks for letting us bother you for a while you're on vacation.
Yeah, and guys, man, the sun came out. I'm looking outside right now, and it's like straight up sunny blue skies now after that rain has gone through. So, I mean, with a couple of hours, maybe Sloan Field dries up a little bit and maybe there'll be baseball for people to watch. And I know that for Cubs fans out there, I don't know if you guys touched on it, Evan Altman on Cubs Insider has been doing great work trying to explain the marquee stuff. And yeah, I know that today he's tried both the AT&T and the Hulu Live stuff, and it's still been a little bit messy, but I know that the Cubs were desperate to get this game and launch their network. So hopefully people get an opportunity to watch the game. I know that we have the contractual obligation, so we got to have Bulls regular season instead of Cubs spring training, but hopefully people get a chance to watch it back in Chicago. And the folks down here, looks like they're going to get a good night to go and watch baseball.
It seems weird. I'm sure Theo's not probably in favor of playing this game just because they want to launch the marquee network. But whatever, that's probably why they played this game tonight. Otherwise, they would have been banged, right?
Yeah, I mean, most of the Cactus League was like, screw it. Like, it's the first game. And there was one game yesterday the Royals and the Rangers played out in Surprise, and it was a perfect day to play a game. And, I mean, they're going to luck up. It looks like they're going to get a good night to play a game. But hopefully that field is drained. I wouldn't expect that players of consequence are going to be out on that diamond too long tonight. That would be my prediction.
Lawrence, have a good time out there. Go talk to Fegan and see if you can get, you know, reserve a time to go in the pool in the back of his pickup.
No, that pool is dirty. I got a clean pool over here where I'm at, so I'm going to do that instead.
All right, have a good one.
All right, boys, be good.
Thanks, Lawrence.
That's our guy, Lawrence Holmes. All right, we are really late, so we'll take a timeout, come back. And before we get out of here, I haven't told Herb this yet, but there's like one NBA thing I want to get to.
Bulls?
Sorry. No, not Bulls related.
Okay, we're good then.
Okay. We'll do that before we get out of here, and we'll take your calls. 312-644-6767, 6711 on the text line. We've touched on a lot today, a ton of baseball, so we want to hear your thoughts on the score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back. I'm Rick Camp alongside Herb Lawrence till the top of the hour. Bulls pregame on the score starts at 5:45. They have the Phoenix Suns in town. Phoenix Suns are a fun team to watch. Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton. They got some fun guys on that team. I was all ready for this segment to, you know, kind of go over a couple of the things Lawrence brought up with us. And then as we hit the break, I had to run to the bathroom. And with our setup here, so it's like a big L. And where I'm sitting is like the short part of the L. So I try and get around the corner as fast as I can so I can make sure I have time to go to the bathroom and still fill up my water.
Aerodynamic.
Yeah, of course. So I try to cut the corner properly. And I definitely caught my belt loop on the corner, and I busted the belt loop.
Oh, I thought the console would break instead of your belt loop. The belt loop.
Well, so would I.
Okay, I thought it was a little better construction on those pants. Are those Lee jeans?
They are Levi's.
Levi's? Denizens?
Yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah, so that happens, and I already had an existing like hole in the crotch area of these pants. So now both of my pairs of jeans each have a hole in the crotch and each have a busted belt loop.
I mean, as us fats are to do, having holes in the middle of our jeans. I mean, that's
my
life.
Yeah, because like, so this happened a lot when I actually wasn't near as fat, but like when I delivered pizzas in DeKalb, I was getting in and out of my car a bunch. And, you know, I always have my pants a little lower.
Yeah, you like the sag. I got you.
Yeah. So I like the sag a little bit, but when you're like extending a little bit, getting into or out of a car, it can be problematic. So like I had once when I was delivering pizzas, thank God it was my last delivery of the night. I had my like worn out ass khakis on, and they were just, you know, they're bad pants that you just wear for work. Well, I get out of the car, and at that point I had like a car that was decently close to the ground, step out while having the pizza bag, so I'm like turned the other way as well, grabbing that from the passenger seat, and just rip right down the seam as I have to go up to this person's house.
Man.
So it's like it's completely ripped,
it's
like
visible?
probably down from like the inseam down to damn near the knee.
Damn.
So what I do is I have the warming bag with the pizza in it. And instead of holding it, you know, at about like stomach level,
yeah,
I hold it down at like waist level. Ugh. And just hope to God that they're too drunk to realize it. They're either A, too drunk, or B, didn't care. So, and then while I'm walking back to the car, I like put the warming bag behind me. And then that was the last delivery of the night. I get back to the store. It was like myself and the manager just laughed and didn't even make me do like the cleanup stuff before I got to go home. He's like, just
go home.
Get out of here. Nobody wants to see that, which is true.
No, no one wants to see that at all. But
no.
Yeah, you have some interesting ways of ripping your pants. So if you have any at home, we are here for the next 20 minutes, 23
yeah.
minutes to be precise, before CBS Sports Radio takes over. Call us in. 312-644-6767. Do you rip your pants like Rick does often? He has two pairs of pants, which
yes.
I also have two pairs of pants, two
right.
jeans. That's it. If you see me, I'm wearing either one or two pairs of jeans. I'm not switching.
Yep.
I don't understand when people have like six or seven pairs
right.
of jeans.
Well, I asked someone else here who about like, you know, how often, like how many pairs of pants do you rotate through? Like when it's cold enough out where you're pretty much always in jeans, how many pairs of jeans are you rotating through on a daily basis? You know, like most people have ones that are like maybe like darker jeans that are for more almost formal occasions or closer to formal. Whereas, you know, like I just have the two pairs of jeans and that's pretty much it regardless. And, you know, it's because, hey, fat guy jeans are, you know, more material and they realize they've got us so they can price gouge the hell out of us.
Yeah. If you ever go to a big and tall store, you would think that they would be moderately priced.
Yeah,
no,
not at all.
Not at all. They like, okay, this is the only place you can go because, you know, Marshall's or the regular stores like
sure.
Old Navy, they don't got your 48.
Kohl's
brother.
Is solid.
Get out of here.
Yeah, Kohl's is pretty good.
Yeah,
they've
get
got
your ass out of here
yeah,
immediately.
Kohl's has a solid big and tall section. Penny's is okay. But outside of that.
Penny's? What is it, the 30s?
JCPenney. Well, I don't know.
What the hell?
They still have in malls and stuff.
JCPenney, you going to bring Venture back too?
Oh, man. As long as service merchandise comes with it.
Zaire?
Yeah, there was a. So in Naperville, there's a strip mall that used to have. It was like Venture next to service merchandise, next to something else that was like stereotypical of like when we were growing
Radio
up.
Radio Shack, Blockbuster?
It might have been Radio Shack, actually, now that I think about it.
Yeah, all gone.
All right. Alex is in Albany Park and has a story for us. What's up, Alex?
Hey, what's up, boys?
Nothing much. How you doing, man?
So, I'm good. He's reminding me of me when I was in my single days hanging out at Bottle Blonde, if I remember correctly, downtown. And I went to a night, you know, out with my boys. I was wearing khaki pants. And then, you know, got a little inebriated and then started dancing. And then next thing you know, I was like, why is it feeling so breezy? So I feel like, oh, my God, like from the upseam all the way down to my near the ankles, like my ripped my pants. And then I couldn't believe it. So, you know, next weekend comes in, I wear different types of pants. Same thing happens. So I think I'm cursed on ripping my pants down at hanging out at River North. I've avoided that bar since then.
You should always avoid those type of bars out there.
I keep ripping my pants over there.
Yeah, River North bars are terrible.
Do you know what dance move did you in?
The percolator.
It was, you know, when to the window, to the wall, my man. You know, get low, baby.
Oh,
you know what it is.
Man, that's right back to college for me. Alex, appreciate it, man. See? I mean, I know I'm, like, believe me, I am very aware that I'm an idiot, but I am not the only idiot out there.
I mean, you're the only idiot trying to cut corners, literally.
Yeah, I was literally trying to cut the corner there. And I'm the only one that willingly says it with a microphone in front of my face, blasting out of the speakers into your radio.
Self-deprecating Rick Camp. That's what I've always called you.
That's very true. That's very apropos. So, all right, let's take a time out, come back. I've got my NBA thing, so I might have endeared myself to you this past segment but you know, the NBA is not Bulls related, so don't get at me for that. I just want to give a PSA about the NBA the rest of the year. So we'll do that when we come back on The Score. Friends, is it Wednesday at 9?
Yes, it is.
Ah, Hater Wednesday.
RIP. Another great open by Chris Tannehill. My partner on Locked On Sox, by the way.
Yes.
Check it out.
You should be listening to Locked On Sox. Those guys do a great job. Also, consistently climbing those baseball podcast rankings.
Yeah, we had a couple good weeks where we're trending top 10. Now we're just settled back into the 20s or 40s, whatever it is. But we'll have an episode for you, at least 3 a week, and then during the season, 5 a week. So Locked On Sox, follow Tannehill and myself, and that its own self. It has its own Twitter and its own Instagram.
And a new episode of the I'm Fat podcast is out as well. Since as long as we're plugging stuff, we might as well. Jay and I did our second feedback episode where we just answered all your Ask a Fat questions. There's a lot of good questions in there. Let's see. We went over which foods you can eat an entire package of in one sitting that are not intended to be so. Jay had a story of some great food shtick that one of his buddies did back in the day. And I had like 2 fat professionals. So, yeah.
Fat professionals.
Hey, we've all done it. It's just a matter of, you know, being real with it, being comfortable with it.
Yeah, we're all past our 30s and mid-30s, yourself, 35. So, yeah.
I'm 33.
Oh, 33. Ugh, yeah. young cat.
I know.
Right? Yeah, you've eating a whole pizza by yourself, and a large one, a deep dish, probably, all by yourself.
I have done that once.
I mean, we need to get real with people. It was delicious.
Yeah.
The first 2 pieces went down smooth. The third went down nice, and then you're like, all right, let me pause a little bit. And then 2 mm-hmm. hours later, 5 other pieces went down.
Yeah. Yeah, it's happened before. I'm not gonna lie. All right.
You feel sorry, you feel gay, shame a little bit, and then you realize you live in your own apartment, so no one saw you.
I'll give a teaser. This is one of the fat professionals that I told on the podcast. This is about travel, because we had a question about, like, what's a food that's worth traveling for? And he was thinking more like, you know, vacations and that kind of stuff. When you go somewhere, make sure to get it. But I told a local one. When I was living in Geneva, so I was pretty much on Randall Road. So for those that don't know the Western burbs that well, it's essentially the western edge of civilization before you get to like DeKalb. So it's about a half hour drive to DeKalb, maybe 35 minutes. And one thing that I love more than anything else in DeKalb food wise was the cheese nuggets from Pizza Pros,
which you have told me about and we've sampled together before an NIU game.
And your thoughts?
Delicious.
Yes.
And they do, as you said, have an ignorant amount of cheese.
It does. So I'm always here for an ignorant amount of cheese, especially on something like that. So there's times where I've not been working on a given day, especially before I was full time. And when my wife was working and I knew nobody else would be at home or see me. So I may have made a trip from Geneva to DeKalb just to get cheese nuggets from Pizza Pros, eat them on the way back. So that way I could get rid of the evidence before I ever got home. So I had, you know, everybody has their places. All fats have their places where they will dump the evidence, also known as the food boxes slash wrappers slash bags.
Let me guess. Yours is somewhere in 88.
No, mine is in Geneva just because there's more options because there's more. It's more suburban. There's a, you know, when you can find where the dumpster is by the Meijer, nobody ever looks at the grocery stores. So I did that.
Then you went in and got a 10 for 10.
I did not. Actually, no.
Say it again.
I'm fine with
Yeah, I got introduced to Meijer by my girlfriend, Courtney. She showed me that it's just like a big-ass grocery store with clothes. It's like a Target, but better, probably.
Yeah, that's where I found my old, the one time I wore to work when it was still the Spiegel and Parkins show, my Topanga t-shirt. I saw it on clearance for like $4. So I ended up getting it, wearing it to work, and catching a bunch of flack for it. All right, before we get out of here, I mentioned I have a PSA on the NBA for you. I understand the Bulls are awful.
Correct.
Not great to watch. Great to listen to, though, and you should, starting with the 5:45 pregame here on the score. But this playoff season is going to be so fascinating because so much in both conferences depends on where these teams end up seed-wise for whatever their for whatever side of the bracket they're going to be on, for whatever their first-round matchup is going to be, that if you don't want to watch the Bulls, that's fine. One thing that bothers me a lot about this town is that it's so provincial that an entire sport is defined by the Chicago team in that town. And that's just not the case because the NBA has been awesome this year, even with the Warriors being brutal because everybody's hurt. So I really recommend everybody watch some of this down the stretch basketball of the playoff teams, see what they're doing because there's some matchups that could be fascinating. Like right now, just as an example, Denver's the 2 seed out west. Nobody's going to catch the Lakers. The Lakers are 5 games clear of everybody. But right now, they're set to match up against the Mavericks in the first round. So you would have Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic against Porzingis and Luka Doncic. That's an interesting matchup. But then if you were able to get Denver against Houston or something like that, Houston's currently the 5. Denver's really an awful, awful matchup for Houston because you have Nikola Jokic, who's more than willing to just be in the post and just be physical consistently every single possession. He can pass out of there. He can score out of there. And with the Rockets going full pocket Rockets and the 6'6" and under team, that's a team that it's just so matchup based that I find it fascinating to see. You know, like Memphis is going to be a cool story, and they won't do anything in the playoffs. But it'd be fun to see Ja Morant get that first opportunity. Or if the Pelicans are somehow miraculously able to make it up, see Zion against LeBron and Anthony Davis in the playoffs. There's just so many great players and great individual matchups that could happen that it's just fascinating what could happen. And it's really as wide open as we've seen it in quite a while.
And even just to speaking more about that Rockets-Nuggets series, just the fact of the depth that Denver has and the fact that every time they could have a very skilled big out there, whether it be Jokic, whether it be Mason Plumlee, whether it be Paul Millsap, that's the danger of Denver this whole entire postseason. Mm-hmm. And if Denver learned from what they did last year against Portland, and they're able to capitalize, they're going to be a very, very dangerous team, not only to the Rockets, but any other the other, you know, 7 teams in the Western Conference.
And even if you're not like myself and Sean that are like big into the X's and O's and stuff of the NBA, just think about everything that's on the line. Houston went all in on this. Why? I'm being switchable and small and playing fast and playing aggressive defense because Mike D'Antoni, their head coach, last year of his deal. After everything that happened this offseason, Daryl Morey, the GM, is firmly on the hot seat, if not already pretty much out the door. You have Philly. If Philly gets bounced early, I would have to think that means the end of at least Brett Brown, the head coach, probably a trade of either Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid. I mean, you just look at the trickle-down effect of everything. I mean, the Clippers lately, I don't know how their game ended up. They're playing right now against the Sacramento Kings, but the Clippers have not been playing that great. Paul George is hurt. They really haven't had many opportunities to play together, and for a team that's never been together, there's a lot of benefit of the doubt being given to them by me, too, honestly.
Yeah, big fan of the Clippers, and right now they're in L.A. losing 107-101 to the Kings. Late in the fourth. 1:30 left in the fourth.
Yikes. That's not a great loss. Paul George is out. There's just so many fascinating things. The Eastern Conference, too, because the Bucks haven't proven they can win the big series. You know, they were up 2-0 on the Raptors in the conference finals last year, but the Raptors might be the best story in the league this year. Boston's been really good. A first-round matchup of Miami and Philly looks probable at this point, and that would just be a slugfest. Jimmy Butler going against the Philly team that he was signed and traded from.
Chicago's finest, Kendrick Nunn.
Yes.
Myers Leonard, of course, Illinois.
Yeah, him too.
Yeah, they'll be dominating because they have great stars on their team. Two Illini, I guess.
That's enough. And
James Butler, too.
Yeah.
It's nice.
They got Andre Iguodala. Bam Adebayo. I'm glad people got introduced to Bam Adebayo and how good he's been.
It's weird how you add Jimmy Butler to team gets better.
Yeah, it is fascinating how that's worked.
Yeah. Hmm. And, like, it's just a weird thing. You subtract Jimmy from team gets worse.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of circumstances with what happened in Chicago. I'm not, you know, I don't know. I never knew how to feel about that trade necessarily. But, Herb, it's been fun.
It has been enjoyable time, Rick. Let's do this again if they put us on the schedule together.
Right. Or if the Cubs get rained out of a normal time slot again, then maybe we'll be allowed to do this.
Keep on raining down there in Arizona. Let's go.
All right. We want to thank James Fegan. Thank Lawrence Holmes. Thanks to Sean Anderson. Appreciate all of you out there listening. Remember, 5:45, Bulls, Suns, pregame. Devin Booker is a fun player to watch. DeAndre Ayton is pretty interesting. Ricky Rubio's out there as well.
DeAndre Ayton's a big-time bust.
I don't think he's a bust.
He's a bust. He's the number one pick overall. But
they're not even 2 years into their career yet.
Bust.
He's not Luka Doncic.
Boom! Yeah.
Okay, yes. But there's varying degrees of bust.
He's not Trae Young. He's a bust. He was the number one pick guys.
He's averaging 19 and 12, Herb.
He's a bust.
Yeah, see, we have different definitions of what a bust is.
Somebody on a bad team's got to score. Don't be telling me about stats on a bad team. Somebody's got to score.
Have you met Devin Booker?
He's actually good, though. But he's actually good independent of being on a bad
team. I think DeAndre Ayton is good. I'm just saying he's not a bust overall in terms of evaluation of talent. He's just not Luka or Trey.
Bust. Okay. That's why I say bust. You pick a guy number one. He should be better than the subsequent players behind him.
That's more on the front office. Luka Doncic was clearly the best player in that draft. That's not on Ayton. Ayton's still a good player regardless of where he went.
Right. It's not his fault he was taken first.
No, it's not his fault. I'm not saying he should be at fault, but he's a bust.
Okay. Herb ends on a bad note.
Oh, great note.
That's fine.
He's terrible.
You or DeAndre Ayton?
Both.
Okay.
Was Alex Smith a bust?
Yes. Yes! He was a bust. I mean, what are we discussing here? Yes.
I mean, is he a bust compared to Jamarcus Russell?
He's had a good career, but he is a bust. Yes, Alex Smith is a bust.
So Myles Garrett was a bust, too.
No, Myles Garrett is a Pro Bowler. He's great.
No, but he's not. But Patrick Mahomes was in that draft. By your logic, he has to be a bust.
No, same type of, not football, the same, like,
nope,
NBA is
nope,
different than the
nope,
NFL.
Nope, got you.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
Yes, got I did. Him.
He's a Pro Bowler.
Uh-huh.
Plays in the Pro Bowl.
So was that
he was
Smith,
on the tour?
Eventually, not for the San Francisco 49ers.
Okay.
He was a bust for the 49ers.
I think that me twisting Herb's logic against him just won.
No.
We'll end on that note.
He's great.
Sorry, Jody Mack. We'll get to you a little late.
Is it Jody Mack?
I have no idea. I'm assuming it's Jody Mack.
Put it in queue, Sean. See what we're missing on the CBS Sports Radio.
They're in break right now.
It's not my guy.
No, I don't think your guy works there anymore.
He don't work anymore? Who's Caffarel? He can't go on the bench anymore. Give me a drink.
Right.
He's
back in the locker room. All right, we'll get out of here. That's Herb.
Playing us off with some smooth jazz. Jazz. Thank you.
All right. It's a score.
Ayton's a bus.
Oh, no. Yes. That's my man. He wakes me up every morning.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.